find out how good it feels to either fail or to work hard or something like that.
Well, it's
like
more
that.
Of like delayed gratification.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
like it's there you a go. Sense of it's a sense of you're doing something with, but it's the act of doing it that's your core focus.
Yeah.
It's not the end result. Like
right.
each one of those obstacle courses is like this awesome win in your mind, even when you know you still have a ton to go. And it's like, you know you're gonna reach the end eventually and that's gonna be great, but it's just getting one step at a time. It's the entire process that really demands more of your attention and
yeah.
focus.
That's right. And then you just hit it on the head, that those two words, delayed gratification. Hopefully people, I feel like people are gonna start slowly trending towards, and especially in health and wellness, the benefits of delayed gratification opposed mm-hmm. to instant gratification.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for checking out this week's episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We are back this week with a wonderful recap episode. We're bringing one out from the vaults. That's right, folks. You get a little taste of some important topics. And the reason is that we're going to do an updated version of this. So, what am I talking about? We're talking trends, folks. Mm-hmm. That's right. What were the health and fitness trends of 2020? We gave our predictions at the beginning of the year, right?
Yeah, so at the end of 2019, we always, or at the end of 2019, we gave our predictions for the
Coming year.
Trends. Yep.
Yeah. Exactly right. And then we kind of do a check-in at the end or beginning of the new year, end of the old year, see how we sort of stacked up, I guess. And in order to do that, you need to know what we predicted last year. So This is a great catch-up episode. If you haven't been with us before, then please listen to this episode. Give us a rating and review. Specifically, if you can give us one in Apple Podcasts, that would be greatly appreciated, because if you give reviews, it actually improves the chances of other people looking for our content or looking for content like ours
exactly right.
to actually find our podcast. Mm-hmm. And it gets new ears on our podcast, which is what we're trying to do, just reach more people. And we always love to hear from you. So even if you don't feel like leaving a rating, drop us a line. Let us know what you're liking these days, what you're interested in the future. That is all that we ask.
Right. And if you already gave us a rating review, you can always share the podcast with a friend.
That is actually one of my favorite things to do with podcasts in general, mm-hmm. is to just send interesting episodes. Maybe this is that episode for you. And you just, all you do is you can just share it straight from the Apple Podcast.
That's right.
Area. So I think you can also do it on Spotify.
Yep.
Yeah. Makes it super simple. Introduce it to someone new, someone maybe you think that needs to hear this or is interested in the topic.
That's right. And so, like you said, this is a great episode to do so, because people will get to hear kind of what we predicted were going to be the health trends for 2020, see how right we were, see how wrong we were, because I can tell you one thing we didn't predict. That's been affecting everybody.
Yeah, I don't think...
we're not Nostradamus over here.
I don't think pandemic was in most people's year plan for 2020.
Yes, that's true. But then you guys can... we're going to follow up this episode with next year's predictions for 2021.
So first, catch up on the trends that we predicted for this past year by listening to this week's episode, and then tune in for our next episode, which is going to be the future predictions for 2021. Mm-hmm. I thought we'd be talking about being the Jetsons by now, so, you know, my predictions apparently are off.
Right, yeah. So please enjoy the 2020 health and fitness predictions on this week's throwback edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out the final episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast for 2019. And you know, since this is our last episode, that means we have to give you our predictions for the what's going to be going on in the field of health and wellness in 2020.
Yep. How long was last year the first year we did this?
No, I feel like we started in 2018.
We've done it, and we've been pretty good, I feel like. Pretty good. Kind of tapping into those things that we've kind of seen rise in the previous year that really catch some kind of fire in the coming year. So I feel like we usually get like at least half, if not more.
I mean, last year we talked about CBD, we talked about recovery, we talked about, there was another one that was right on the tip of my tongue.
I think I talked about self-care and how that was going to become super big, which
absolutely
it was everywhere in 2019.
And of course, digital wellness too. You brought that topic up, and that's something that's kind
and that's picked up a lot of steam in the last half of this year, especially. Yes. So
hopefully you guys listened to last week's episode to hear all those past predictions from last year. So
yeah.
Yes, in addition to those predictions we'll share with you today, we're going to go over our training recap. Our monthly challenges were 3 workouts a week and longer food. I'm not going to lie, I've been fighting a cold for last couple of days, so I've been terrible with both of those challenges.
Yeah, I think you know, it's one of those very real moments where you have to kind of say, be real honest with yourself and say, okay, I didn't make it, but like not give up each day and say like just throw everything out the window and just give up. You just kind of have to know it's just the effort of trying that's the success. It's the fact if you give up altogether, that's when you fail. Even if you don't do it every single day. Because I really, with the tracking especially, I was super hit or miss. Yeah. There were some weeks where I was decent about it. I might not get every single day perfectly, but I kept a general log or tracked it in some form most. But as the holidays came, I caught the cold that everybody else here had. I was super swamped with just trying to wrap up everything that happens all at the end of the year. I mean, literally, we take probably about 3 or 4 months worth of activity and squish it into about a 4 to 5 week period. And it takes a toll. Like, something's got to give. So I think that the 3 workout a week was a solid goal. It was tough. I missed it this last week.
Yeah, I definitely did
too. I only got 2, and you know what? I'm okay with that.
Right.
Like, it was the effort that I was proud I did something.
These last 2 weeks basically Christmas and New Year's kind of in the middle of our weeks have really been tough. So I agree. You know, I kind of echo what you said. I did poorly on the logging the last couple of weeks, and then workout, especially the last week being sick, I didn't get anything done. So I'm looking to start 2020 on a much fitter note. So I'm going to make sure to double down, make up for lost time. If you guys were doing the opposite of us and were kicking butt on those December challenges, let us know, because there is a recovery pack with your name on it. So let us know. You can reach out to us on the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. We have our email at the end, or on Instagram at
ShannonJP
or at ETTampa. All right, so now let's go ahead let's not waste any time, because we do have predictions to go through for 2020.
Yes, so, and we're doing 3 each. Mm-hmm, so these are going to be your top 6.
Yes, so I am going to let the lady go first, because I'm a gentleman and very chivalrous. Chivalrous?
So you're going to say shitty. Chivalry? I was like, where are you going with this?
Chivalrous? Chivalrous? Is that a word?
It is a word.
All right.
So this year, 2019, we saw some really big shifts in not vegan food, but I think food for the masses that just happens to be vegan. We did a review on the Beyond Burger.
Yep.
based off of the growth of the Impossible Burger. It's mainstream officially. I think it's probably the first mainstream product that was an animal replacement.
Yeah.
For the wider audience. Maybe like outside of maybe almond milk or, you know, those non-dairy milks right. that I feel like are pretty much everywhere. I mean, Starbucks carries them, so I feel like that's mass. That's mass volume right there when you hit Starbucks. But I think my prediction is that we're going to see that focus on non-animal proteins replacing animal proteins. So vegan options, plant-based options, plant-based specifically, for other animal proteins out there. Right. So there's some decent animal protein replacements for, like, you know, chicken. There's not a ton, though. And I wouldn't say there's just a standard great everybody goes to for chicken.
Yeah.
I mean, like, people talk about tofu, and I mean, there's like a mushroom product out there called corn with a Q.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. But there's nothing mainstream. Like, still, chicken still reigns, I think, as far as proteins go. I think we're going to see more development towards that. I think we're going to see maybe even some fish or seafood replacement kind of items coming into the market. And again, it's not because just, you know, the world is going vegan. I mean, it would be great to see more people go plant-based. I think we're going to see, it's still going to be mostly like processed foods that are going to be the replacements. But I think that there's openness for the masses now. It's like it's reached that mass brink where most people are willing to replace something in their diet with a plant-based alternative for whatever range of reasons. Health, moral, environmental, you name it. So I think we're going to see more of that.
Interesting. Yeah. And I think my trend, I guess, kind of, I wouldn't say it's on the, it's very similar, but I guess it's in a other kind of dietary preference. I think keto is going to keep getting its kind of marketing push in 2020. I mean,
keto is keto friendly
product. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and keto friendly products, I think, are even going to become just maybe the marketing and the packaging is just going to be more popular in stores like or grocery stores in general. You know, yeah. Just that term keto friendly is going to be more and more packages you see. I mean, those deli meat packages are now going to have keto friendly on it, even though people probably knew they were keto or. Now, because the keto diet is supposed to be the cure-all, you know, is when people have lack a little understanding, the real understanding of it. And because people,
an all-or-none diet and that just eating a one keto-friendly food is not going to cut it.
Yes. So, I mean, it's like I said, a lot of people misunderstand. They probably lack the understanding of what it takes to be, you know, truly keto and I mean, there's varying levels. It depends who you ask and stuff like that. But, you know, you're talking about a pretty low carb diet and most of your calories from fat. So that's something that I don't know if everybody understands about keto, but I think more full fat products will be out there. But I think specifically the marketing that keto is going to, you're going to start seeing that term on more and more products out there. Kind of like,
to see it everywhere.
Yeah. Kind of like gluten free, I think was a few years ago. Yeah. That was all over products. And like you said, the paleo word.
Paleo 10 years ago, it was like, everything was like, oh, this is paleo friendly. This is paleo.
Yep.
This is paleo, you know, I don't know. What's something that's already paleo? Steak.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this
it's like keto.
Paleo steak. It's like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. And the thing is, I think hopefully it'll be a little bit, not only will it be stuff that already exists, but I feel like more items will, you know, start getting marketed more because like even fish or like plant-based keto items,
yeah,
you know, just to get even more of kind of a market share of that.
You're gonna jump on that bandwagon. Yeah, man.
Exactly. So, I mean, one thing that I've seen is I know the carnivore diet and keto are not same thing, but there's more and more kind of like dried meats and jerkies and stuff even available now, and they're even going into dried salmon and stuff like that. So I think it's I think, you know, it's basically just you're going to get that probably be the biggest or the most popular term on packaging in 2020. Yeah.
I agree. I think it's going to become almost annoyingly frequent.
All right. Number two for you.
Number two for me is I think while we always have a hot workout, we always have, you know, like, oh, this year it's all about HIIT, or this year it's all about, you know, the Orange Theory style, or this year it's all about, I don't know. I mean, pick a year. If I feel like it changes. There's like some CrossFit. Darling. Yeah, oh yeah. Gosh, CrossFit. How can I forget that? I think that we're actually going to start seeing a lot of focus spent on recovery. And not just recovery as in like, oh, today's my off day. I'm recovering today. Or like I did a really hard workout today, so I have to recover. I think we're going to see more development of recovery. So that it's not just recovery, but it's that it's still really working for you in its best sense. I think a lot of us just kind of give in to the idea that just stopping can be a recovery day. But I think being productive, and I'm not just talking about fitness-wise, I mean recovery in general, I think we're going to find ways to be more productive and use our time more wisely when we are recovering, so that rest recovery period is going to become more fully utilized. So like learning how to meditate smarter, not just meditate, but you know, use your time smarter for that. There'll be more development of things within that recovery realm, I think. So that I think that that's going to be, we're going to hear a lot more about recovery, and we're going to hear more about specific things to do in recovery versus it's rest time. Because like you, who are, you know, you're a physical specialist, your recovery days are not probably like most people's recovery days, because you're focusing on, you know, movement and flexibility and just kind of how to increase the range of motion.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff I think we're going to see more of. I think that's going to become more prevalent. That recovery and rest isn't going to be just sitting on your butt.
Right.
There's going to be more to it, and we're going to see more ways to take advantage of even those quote unquote like recovery off days.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree. It's I mean, we talked recently about how important, you know, sleep optimization is, and now there's got to be a recovery optimization too.
Yeah,
and I think, like you said, we know some of the practices that can be beneficial, but now we got to kind of become skilled in it.
Yeah,
and I think that comes with not your experience, you becoming more experienced with it, but I think people. There's still recovery is still a rather new type of trend, I believe. So it's like I think more and more people, you know, there are definitely smarter people than us tackling this subject and, you know, figuring out the best way you can optimize that recovery.
Yeah.
And hopefully, like you said, it sounds like I'm sure some more information will be coming out this year.
Yeah.
In regards to that.
Recovery is going to still be a big area for exploration. I think we're going to see a lot more ideas for it in 2020.
Absolutely. In mine, I like to say, I think our trends somewhat have some similarities, especially, you know, this one and the last one and then this one, because this trend, my next trend, is dopamine fasting. So this is kind of has some roots in the kind of the digital wellness field that we talked about for last year. And obviously can refer to, you know, what, you know, dopamine is, that the hormone or the feel good chemicals released when you're, you know, basically doing a pleasurable hyper pleasurable activities. Yes. And
that
a lot of times
that's instant gratification.
Yeah, and a lot of times that's associated with social media, whether it be Facebook, Instagram likes, or
shopping.
People commenting. Yeah, but it could also be activities like that, you know, highly palatable foods or shopping or, you know, winning a scratch off or something like that, you know? So I think one thing people are starting to realize is that hitting that dopamine button on a regular basis is not actually beneficial. Yeah. It might feel good, but it's actually becoming, it's can be detrimental to your psyche. And also, much like resistance, when we talked about, we've talked about insulin resistance and, you know, the subsequent type 2 diabetes, how your body can build up a tolerance to essentially being too much dopamine, where you can never get enough dopamine to be happy anymore.
You'll have to be on Instagram or Pinterest for hours. Exactly. And hours.
So then, and then you do basically bump into your recovery time, or if you're, you know, that was kind of the link. But I think it's more the link is that I think we saw it a few years ago where, and it's still pretty popular, but like obstacle course races. Like, there was a great book, I forgot what it was called, but it what was people's obsession with these obstacle course races?
Yeah.
People run, climb stuff, and drug through the mud, get shocked by electricity. Why are people doing this?
I know, it's I asked myself when I did them too, but it feels so damn good after.
And that's the thing, it's that, and that's dopamine is released through hard work, and you did something hard, and it's like gratifying.
It's like a prolonged experience for a relatively, like, still small, but, like, it's just more satisfying. Yeah. It's more deeply satisfying because you know it was productive.
Right. And I think in 2020, we're going to see more of that getting in the mainstream, how, yes, we live, especially in, you know, United States, we have very easy, we don't have to do a lot of hard work. A lot of, especially
our society and culture is based off of instant gratification.
Yes, exactly right. So, and even in our jobs, even our careers, I mean, a lot of career paths don't involve a lot of physical manual labor anymore.
Yeah.
So I think people are going to go out and seek things that are somewhat challenging in order to maybe get, you know, not get disappointed, that's not the word I'm looking for, but like find out how good it feels to either fail or to work hard or something like that, or something that's not less like,
well, it's
like
more
that.
Of like delayed gratification.
Yeah.
You know, like it's
there you
a
go.
Sense
Thank you.
Of it's a sense of you're doing something with, but it's the act of doing it that's your core focus.
Yeah.
It's not the end result. Like you do those obstacle course, and each one of those obstacle courses is like this awesome win in your mind, even when you know you still have a ton to go. And it's like, you know you're gonna reach the end eventually and that's gonna be great, but it's just getting one step at a time. It's the entire process that really demands more of your attention and focus.
That's right. And then you just hit it on the head, that those two words, delayed gratification. Hopefully people, I feel like people are gonna start slowly trending towards, and especially in health and wellness, the benefits of delayed gratification opposed to instant gratification.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've said it before, I think that is the key to success, is delayed gratification.
Yeah.
So I think so people are, more and more people are going to start realizing it. So I think that's where it's going in 2020. One of my predictions for 2020.
I like it.
All right, we're on to the final ones. Your final prediction for 2020.
Yes. So I think we've talked about, you know, food as medicine. That one I've heard coming up a lot more. You know, we have more sort of functional medicine doctors out there, you know, Western medicine, like your doctor you actually go to, who are learning more about nutrition. That's great. But now what we're seeing is that there are more people in the medical field that are actually learning about movement as medicine. So actually there's like an actual initiative in the medical field for movement as medicine. And that idea that it's not just treating what's already wrong with you, but like making sure that your lifestyle really is conducive to the healthiest you, mm-hmm. and that movement is part of that. And I think it's also not just in the medical field, but I think a lot more people in just general, the larger portion of the population, I think we're reaching more of that. It may not be the norm, but it's increasingly, people are growing increasingly aware that because there's so much less movement, people are starting to feel the impact of that and realize, I need to change something and I need to move my body. They might not be going into their local CrossFit gyms to, you know, to lose weight and get ripped, or like, they might not be going that extreme route, but I think that that's where they're also starting to embrace some of those kind of on the outskirts types of physical fitness, whether it be mobility work, yoga. I mean, all of those kinds of that may not have even been called a quote unquote workout, but I think people are starting to see that as the goal as much as losing weight. It's also about, I need to move my body. Like I say that on a regular basis to myself, and I know I say it to you too. Right. It's like, gosh, like, I feel like crap, I need to move. Or I have this part of my body that's like super sore and really tight and it hurts to stand or whatever. My instinct isn't to go sit on the couch and wait it out. It's the medicine I need is movement. Like, I right. know it in my bones and my muscles that movement is actually the medicine that I need to fix it. I mean, as a physical professional,
yeah.
you know, someone that's in the fitness industry, you have people coming to you all the time. Do you feel like this is something you're seeing more of?
Yeah, definitely hearing more people talking about their general physician telling them to move more. They need to exercise, you know, they go and get an annual physical and their blood levels or, you know, their blood panel is just, you know, lots of indicators of poor health. So they doctor tells them, hey, you got to eat right and you got to exercise.
Yeah.
So that's why they come, you know, they need an accountability. Usually they need someone to hold them accountable. That's where personal trainers usually come in. So, yeah, I have a lot of people. And then, of course, people who are lacking flexibility. We deal with a lot of athletes, both young and old, and they're like, oh, I need to be more flexible. My lower back hurts. But we're like, well, you know, we'll address that with the movement in here, you know.
Yeah, and it kind of goes hand in hand with the recovery trend too, because I think movement as like fitness, as a practice, it's kind of sad. Like, this didn't used to be a thing because plenty of people moved. Movement was something that you had to do to survive.
Mm.
Nowadays, it's the reverse, where you spend a lot of the population spends so much time sitting. We're seeing chronic lower back pain as like one of the biggest complaints out there because, oh yeah, like all of those muscles, your piriformis and all of these muscles on the front side of your body are shortening because of your sitting, you know, you're folded at a, what is it, 45, 90 degree angle, whatever that is. Your body's like literally like there's muscles in your body just shrinking because you're not balancing that huge amount of sitting with a lot of movement and stretching.
Right.
So then you're taxing muscles that didn't have to do as that kind of heavy stretch or work. You're putting some in atrophy. You're putting some now having to do extra work. It's causing all kinds of pain because we're not structurally made for it.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I mean, yeah. We're seeing text neck and all kinds
that's what
of
I was
terrible
say.
Things.
That was how you talk about this and kind of linked it to the dopamine fasting thing. That's, hopefully people are starting to, it goes hand in hand. People are realizing that you got to put in hard work if you want to get, be healthy and yeah. or, you know, success is not just, you know, success in business or whatever you're doing. Success could be in your fitness too.
It's not
and you
got to
put
habit.
The hard work in. Right.
Yeah, it can't I think too much of what there's a period in our history. We're going to look back someday and we're going to see like there was too much of a focus on fitness as a habit. or fitness is not a habit, a hobby.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, wait a second.
Not a habit, a hobby. And that it's this part, this small part that's, it's voluntary. It's not necessary. And I think that portion, that's going to have screwed up people enough that people are going to start putting it back together and saying, maybe this isn't the right way to look at
right.
it. Maybe the fact is that movement and fitness and all of this is actually super critical to all of the other pieces of our lives. And we have to dedicate more of a priority to it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great prediction.
So it's like a prediction wrapped in a prediction. We're going to see movement as medicine, I think, not just in the medical community, but definitely among the larger population, people just realizing movement is going to be the key to feeling better in a lot of ways.
Yep, agreed. All right, for my last prediction, it's hopefully kind of also piggybacks on the medical field, advancements in the medical field. I think specifically nutritional studies. Hopefully we're going to get a little bit better reporting when it comes to nutritional studies. You know, I feel like especially up until now, a lot of we've been getting lots of conflicting information about, is meat bad for you? Is meat good for you? Is dairy bad? Is
eggs,
dairy good?
Eggs are a savior. Yeah. Eggs are the devil.
Exactly. So, and I mean, media has had its part in just, you know, putting out headlines, but that's what they do. Their job is just to
get
frame the information
there.
A certain way.
Yeah.
Sadly, the information is not consistent.
Right.
You know, yeah, one part of problem is, you know, lots of the overuse, I believe, of epidemiological studies where they're just observational studies. And one kind of type of that for nutrition is people filling out surveys about food they eat. And yeah. they found out with those, there's anywhere from 50% or more error of people accurately describing what they ate in like a food journal.
People
so,
are good at that.
And
look at us. We just
yeah.
did it. We're
yeah,
terrible.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, they have like things like random controlled studies, which are really good for certain, like certain fields, like drug testing, but not exactly great for nutrition. So what they're doing, I think they're also going to, you know, fine tune nutritional studies more as the year goes on, as 2020 comes and goes. But they're also going to do a little bit more of what they call meta-analysis. Or presenting of meta-analysis, which is basically they're looking for studies that fit certain parameters and have a certain study size and stuff like that and go through specific types of procedures. And then they're going to see if there's similar findings throughout consistent numerous studies, not just one, and see if they can kind of deduce a conclusion about a certain nutrition topic from these multiple studies. They'll be, you know, usually they fall around the same type of study tactics or study methods, but what they do, it's more information that they can base their conclusions on. So they're not just pulling it from a single study that maybe, like I said, epidemiological, it's just about based on observations. Maybe they do, the meta-analysis does epidemiological, does random controlled studies, does observational studies, things like that. So they're going to pull from more studies and then build their conclusion with more supporting evidence as opposed to just one.
So do you think that's going to happen? Like, is that more possible now because of technology and everything?
Yes.
Or do you think it's just that they've just been lazy in the past?
I think what people are, they're going to start before they release data or before they kind of, I think a lot of it peer-reviewed journals is kind of like the gold standard.
Right.
But before I think things make it into peer-reviewed journals, I think they might go through more of this meta-analysis type of method, you know, where they basically say their study finds this result. The person who does the study will go through a meta-analysis of multiple similar studies to see if they can find the same result and then present it. you know. So I think they're going to try to do their more due diligence to give a more conclusive, basically, hypothesis about whether meat is could be damaging to your health or not, or as dairy or a certain plant. So
are they really looking for more correlation between different study versus like how can they prove that the results from one study are going to match up and support the results of another?
They're not. They basically search the existing studies to see if their findings are supported. Yeah, they're looking for trends that if their the findings they found are supported by multiple other studies. Gotcha. So they're looking for basically the, you know, more supporting evidence.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, so okay, hopefully those type of nutritional studies will be presented more in 2020 opposed to just a single study finding one thing opposed to the other. So
interesting. Hopefully, that would be great.
Yeah. So hopefully, because I mean, it's just like so confusing nowadays that nobody knows what to believe. And now documentaries
seems like every other week.
Yeah. And documentaries are coming out just presenting one side and trying to essentially just, they have an agenda of what side they want to tell. So it's sadly
that's still who funds a lot of projects.
Yes.
People that have an agenda.
Yeah, that's true. There is bias. There's definitely people who fund things that have bias. That's never going to change. But hopefully now with this ability to do meta-analysis of multiple studies and present the information based off of numerous studies, we'll get a little bit more conclusive nutritional evidence or nutritional information in 2020.
I like it. So those are the top six for us.
Yep.
So were there any like runner-ups for you? Like almost made the cut, but either maybe it still has some legs, or maybe it's like, I don't know, like a little off base or...
One thing I saw when we were doing our research for this that I thought was kind of interesting was the reduction in helicopter parenting.
Oh.
So a little bit more the resurgence of not exactly free range parenting where they just let kids do whatever they want. Or
yeah,
like
without boundaries.
Yeah, but people are not going to be as... Just like, you know, basically all over their kids, you know, like just trying to protect them from everything, trying to Purell the world for their kids, you know.
Trying to do everything for them.
Yeah, they're going to be a little bit more to
let them fail at some things.
Let them fail, develop their own independence and stuff like that. Yeah. So there's saw some trends for people going that direction, which I like, you know.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think... honestly, a lot of the trends I feel like we talked about today, kind of it touches a lot, and it's like that underlying issue that's on people's minds. I think in a big way nowadays is the environmental place for all of these health and wellness. I think the days of existing as human beings on a planet we have control over and, you know, that's going to bend to our will forever are gone. And we are now hyper aware of the impact that we have. I think that awareness is going to drive a lot of things. It's going to drive, like, you know, the types of food that become more popular. Like, let's note that it's the plant-based foods that are becoming more popular. And there's a lot of studies around the environmental impacts of, you know, like meat farming and things like that. There's also, you know, we've got like tons of studies around, you know, the types of products and things that we use on an everyday life, like even in fitness and things that are plastic based, and we're going to see more that are not, because, you know, we're seeing recycled plastic wear for fitness wear, and there's just a lot of things tied to environmental.
Yeah.
I think we're going to continue to see that. I think we're going to see even more kind of fitness and health topics it coming into that area as well.
Right.
Because it's a top concern. for more people, thank gosh.
Yeah.
You know, since governments don't really do what we need them to, like, it's really up to the people and the day-to-day decisions that we make and trying to make the changes that are necessary. I think that's going to be, everyone's going to have to face that in some form in the near future. So,
right.
It's nice to see that it's, I think it's driving things in a positive way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was my other one. And it's kind of like, wouldn't be like a health fitness exclusive. I think it's just a bigger issue that's increasingly important that's impacting everything.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
So that's what I got.
All right. Well, I think that's a great way to end 2019. I am looking forward to a new year of podcast episodes, more interviews, more taste tests, more maybe product reviews.
Ooh, yeah. We haven't done a product review in a minute.
So I'm glad you guys joined us this year. We had an awesome year. We appreciate all the love and sharing of this episode, this podcast you did with a friend. So keep it up, guys. Our downloads are definitely the highest they've ever been. So we appreciate you all. If you ever have any topics or any kind of subjects you want us to investigate, please let us know.
Yeah, and by all means, let us know what we can do to better serve you. We have grown and developed this podcast, and we've switched it up. I know we include more parenting topics nowadays because it's evolved in our life. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure we're touching on those subjects that are helping you live your healthiest, fittest life, even if it's just breaking down the craziness you're hearing in the world. Let us know what you want.
Mm-hmm. It's a good note to go out on. Got anything else for him today?
Well done on the last decade. All we embark on not just a new year, but a new decade. So let's go forward with a fresh outlook, positive outlook, and we will see you / talk to you next year.
Ditto. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes Store. Thanks.
Make sure we can hear me.
Hear you, hear me. There we go.
Hear you, hear me. All right. Together.